Welcome to show number 56 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is happening, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing really well out there. Got quite a bit to talk about today. We're going to be talking about Topps Allen and Ginter baseball and Court Kings basketball, which both came out right at the tail end of last month. And so we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about following up, actually, on the Steven Strasburg cards that we talked a little bit about on show number 55. Also, speaking of show number 55, I teased quite a bit that I was going to talk about some Bengals rookies. I don't think I ever really got around to talking about it. I ended up talking a little bit about it in the show notes, if you ever checked that out. I can imagine that there's a good percentage of people that don't, so I'll give you the audio version of that here shortly. But wanted to get to a contest. Typically, we announce these right on the show first, but my brother Ryan was actually handling this one, so I couldn't get the podcast out early enough. So there's actually about 20 people, I think, that are signed up, maybe slightly less than that, but I think there's about 10 spots left. Absolutely 100,010% free. So I'll emphasize that this is a free box break of 0910 Rookies and Stars Longevity Basketball. So we'll be doing a box break of that, and we've got some people signed up. Basically, all you have to do is go to sportscardradio.com, find the links to the fan forum. It's sportscardradio.com/forum if you want to go there directly, and you'll find the contest thread toward the bottom of that first page there, and you'll find a thread there that says free Rookies and Stars Longevity Box Break. All you got to do is reply there. If you're a member already, should be fairly simple. And I appreciate those that have already gotten on board. And if you're not a member, just register. And if your name, a username, is somewhat of a sports theme or somewhat readable, and you're from the U.S., typically I approve you right away. But if it's not, then send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and I will approve you right away if you send me an email, so we can do it that way. And got some people signed up, 10 spots left. We'll wait till it fills up. I haven't done a full promotion on that yet, including announcing it here, so I can imagine that will fill up very quickly. So by the time you listen to this, if you want to be a part of that, you'll want to go over there, sportscardradio.com/forum, and sign up very quickly, because that will fill up. Let's talk about the Bengals rookies that I was going to talk about on the last show. Not that this is particularly important, but since the Bengals are like the only team I follow in the offseason until, you know, fantasy starts kicking up. Obviously, I know about Tim Tebow and Sam Bradford and those kind of guys, but, you know, who knows what kind of players they're going to be. I will say, who knows what these Bengals players are going to be, but I do know more about them, I guess, because I have been reading definitely the hometown slanted biased version on these players, but some of it comes from some coaches and some other players like Carson Palmer and stuff like that, so it's not all from a reporter's mouth. But one guy I saw some video of was Desmond Briscoe is his full name, but D-E-Z for short, Briscoe. He's a wide receiver. He was drafted late. We've actually already signed him. I guess he was a Bengals fan, so he was really growing up. So he was really excited to be here. He broke some records. I think he went to college at a big school, but not typically known for football, I think. Don't quote me on that. But broke some records there. Looked great in the videos that I saw. Looked at his footwork was tremendous. Given that's from a guy that doesn't really know anything, never played the sport of football, but noticing all the other guys running the routes, including Chad Johnson, watching Desmond Briscoe run the routes, I was like, wow, this guy looks like a pro. And I looked at his number, and I didn't know who he was because I didn't recognize his number. It turns out it's the rookie. So, you know, I wouldn't say that his hands are maybe NFL ready, and even his body is NFL ready. And I can't even say how much playing time he's going to get, because the Bengals do have quite a few other guys like Chad Johnson. And I know they signed a guy, and they have Andre Caldwell there. So we have some guys there. Including our other rookie that we were drafted, I think fairly high, was Jordan Shipley. Not in the first round, but maybe in the second or third round. We picked him. I think he went to Florida. And people are, the guy on the website is very, Bengals website is very high on this guy. People love this guy. He's kind of a slot, I don't know if it's because he's white, but people compare him to kind of Wes Welker. But we had a guy, TJ Hushmanzada, who plays for Seattle now, I believe, who people are comparing him to. So I think that might be a good Bengals comparison. A guy that can play the slot, not a guy that's outside stretching the field, but somebody that kind of works the middle of the field, runs curls. Somebody that definitely is going to have to know the offense. So Desmond Briscoe and Jordan Shipley, I definitely don't expect them to play very much, but I was looking at their autograph prices because I'll probably pick up maybe one or two during the season. Definitely not that expensive. You're looking at under, you know, $5 to $10 for most of them. And even our number one pick, Jermaine Gresham, our tight end, his autographs are fairly affordable. So I was going to pick one up early before maybe they started playing and stuff, but I think I might just wait since it doesn't look like they're that expensive. I could imagine even if he does play well in a preseason game, because the Bengals have that first preseason game. It's the Hall of Fame game. Forget who they're playing. Maybe the Cowboys or something. I'm not exactly sure who they're playing, but they get to play that first game on NBC. I think it's like August 8th or August 4th or something like that. But I'll definitely be checking that out. And some of these guys might make an impact that first game because they'll play quite a bit, because the Bengals actually have five preseason games. Typically, you have four. So the Bengals will be really asking a lot of some of their younger players and the guys that probably won't even make the team to play quite a bit, because we definitely don't want to be throwing Carson Palmer and Cedric Benson and Chad Johnson, we know, has quite a few other things going on, let alone playing in preseason games. So, but to get back to Jermaine, he's fills a need for us. He's our number one pick. He's really tall. I know he had a knee trouble last year. Otherwise, he might have been a much higher pick. I think he was the number one tight end on the board athletically. We got him somewhere in the 20-ish range. I'm not exactly sure what pick we had, but it wasn't like in the teens or anything. So he wasn't a super high pick, but definitely a guy that has super high pick talent, like a Vernon Davis type talent, not maybe not quite as athletically gifted with his shirt off as Vernon Davis is incredible. But Jermaine Gresham, height wise, I think he's like 6'5" or something. He's incredibly tall, looks incredibly athletic. And Carson Palmer says he has the ability to really be a great player. And Carson Palmer doesn't hand out compliments to everybody. He's hard on the players, much like Marvin Lewis is. And I haven't heard Marvin Lewis say a whole bunch of things about Jermaine. But keep in mind with the Bengals, the good thing about Jermaine, if you're thinking about picking up some of those cards like I am, the good thing about him is we have some other tight ends in place, most notably Reggie Kelly. And Reggie Kelly is a guy that you probably have never heard of. But in Bengals fan, this guy is one of our most important players. He went down with an Achilles injury, I do believe. Might have been his ACL, but I believe it was his Achilles. Got blown out really early last season, so he missed all of last year. And this was a guy we dearly missed, not necessarily on the field. He doesn't get a lot of catches, but he blocks tremendously well. He knows exactly where to be. He can tell other players where to be. He's very philosophical. He's very vocal, and he's not scared to share his knowledge to Jermaine Gresham and some of the other younger tight ends that we have. And I remember he was gone for a while last season, and then he came back. And the day he came back, it was almost like, I don't know, like Barack Obama or someone of that stature came through the door. Everybody was very excited to see him. They had video of him and everything. They interviewed him. So this is a guy that's very important to our team. He re-signed for a one-year deal. He appears to be healthy. He's not a young guy. He's like 30. Reggie Kelly's like 30-something. So he only has maybe a year or two left. But he might probably be definitely involved in the organization. That's how important he is to the Bengals. So he's there. He's going to be getting a lot of playing time. If he's healthy, he's going to be in there a lot because the Bengals are going to be running a lot. But we're a team that might start running some two tight end sets and things like that. Maybe get them both on the field at the same time. So I don't expect Jermaine to play a whole bunch of snaps. I don't know that he'll get a whole bunch of targets even during the game. So I wouldn't expect huge numbers. I wouldn't expect more than, say, a couple hundred yards from him even. He's definitely not going to be a guy that's going to be putting up even 700 or 800 yards. I really don't expect. If he does, the Bengals really have a chance to probably be one of the best teams in the NFL if he is putting up those kind of numbers, because we have a lot of other weapons, including our running game and including Chad Johnson and several other guys So I don't expect much from him, but in the future, this is going to be a huge playmaker for him, for us, and could be one of the top tight ends in the league. If he stays healthy, he has the physical gifts to be one of the top tight ends in the league. So you look at like an Antonio Gates card prices and Tony Gonzalez card prices and stuff like that. And so you can kind of compare. Obviously, Jermaine's going to have a lot more cards than those guys. So his autographs might not be quite as much. But Vernon Davis might be a really good comparison. I know Vernon Davis really had a nice resurgent last year. And I think his card prices are still fairly decent. For a tight end, a guy that, you know, is on a fairly small team in terms of how popular they are and how successful they've been recently. So that kind of gives you an idea there. But Desmond Briscoe and Jordan Shipley, definitely two guys flying under the radar that could, you know, soar up a little bit. If the Bengals can get back to their old offense where they were right up there with the Colts, we saw what happened to Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley. Those were two guys that were off everybody's radar. They were on my radar. I think I've mentioned them on the show several times last year during the football season because I had Peyton Manning on my fantasy team, and I loaded up. I had all Colts. I had Dallas Clark. I had everybody but Reggie Wayne, I think. So I even had Joseph Addai, and I had everybody. So I knew about Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon, two guys that low draft picks. But because the quarterback on their team is so good and can get it to, if I was out there, I think I'd catch a ball. That might be stretching it, but I might be able to catch a ball from Peyton in maybe a preseason game against a guy that was going to get cut. I might be able to catch a ball. So we'll see what happens there. But that was my Bengals picks. We're going to just make this a long first segment. I'm going to slip right into my Steven Strasburg update. And then we'll move right into Top Selling Ginter Baseball, which does have some Steven Strasburg stuff in it, too. So if you're a fan of old Stevie, we'll be talking about him a little bit later, too. But let's talk about the cards that we talked about on the last show. The original one-of-one Super Refractor that was bought for $16,000, $16,403 to be exact, and then was actually put on eBay, and then it was on eBay, it was actually at Beckett headquarters being graded. Beckett graded it 9.5. If you listen to last show, there was some controversy to the grade because the centering appears to be off on the front and the back, most notably the back, but definitely on the front as well. So the auction goes for $25,000. So the auction was up originally for the card ungraded. I don't think he made note that the card was getting graded at BGS, but then the card was graded at BGS. I think he made note of it on his auction that it was now a 9.5 gem man. And the card actually sold for $25,000. So, you know, some people might, blame the guy for, like, the quick buy and flip kind of thing. But, hey, this is actually pretty cool. For an outside person that, say, you know, again, take a step back here and take somebody that may be out of the hobby for a while, collected when Ken Griffey Jr. was a rookie or Shaq was involved or Vince Carter was winning dunk contests. You know, take those people or people even older than that that haven't collected since Mickey Mantle's played and tell them, hey, there's a card that came out in 2010. It's not even the guy's rookie card since he has USA stuff since 2008. The card comes out 2 years later of a guy that's only pitched in a couple games, sold for $16,000, and a couple weeks later, the guy sells it for $9,000 more. So, and gets a bunch of press for it. I think the guy has like an insurance or a tax firm or something. So the guy's getting all kinds of publicity from that. So, I think that's great. I think that's great. I mean, he made it even with eBay fees and PayPal fees and shipping and grading and everything. He's up several thousand dollars. In a couple weeks, and you can't do that. It's hard to do that in the stock market these days. It's hard to do that in housing, buying cars, anything, any collectible. It's very difficult to do that. So it's very cool that sports cards, for one, are getting this kind of attention, this kind of money, and they're going up. So it's good. I think it's great. The other maybe slightly disappointing news, the one-of-one red autograph refractor was up to a huge amount of money. I think it was like up to like $100,000. But that was taken off eBay. Not really sure what the reason was. It may have been sold off eBay. A deal may have been worked out. Maybe relisted. I have no idea. I haven't really followed up on it. But it was taken off eBay. So that was the update there. And that's about all we have for this first segment. After this short break, we'll be coming back. We'll be talking about Topps, Allen and Ginter Baseball. That came out just maybe about a week or two ago, a week and a half ago. So we'll talk about Topps, Allen and Ginter Baseball. We'll actually be doing a box break for that really soon. People got in. It was $5 for three teams, which is like pretty much free, considering Topps, Allen and Ginter Baseball was pre-selling, I think, in like the $70 range, and now it's like in the $90 range. Once that Steven Strasburg card got added, we'll talk about that in the next segment, but once that got added, you saw boxes go way up. So there's been some controversy with that in the collation and stuff like that, and so we'll talk about some of that, some of the interesting cards that have been pulled, some of the prices and things like that. So we'll talk about all about Topps, Allen & Ginter Baseball right after this.
Card Collectors World is a forum where you can buy, sell, trade, and discuss sports, non-sports cards, comics, games, toys, and more. Like to win free stuff? Of course you do. We have contests with loads of free prizes, card drafts, group breaks, and more. It is 100% free to join. Come check us out at cardcollectorsworld.com.
And we are back. Just wanted to follow up on something I mentioned on the previous segment. Was actually that one of one red autograph that was taken off eBay of Steven Strasburg actually is going to be resold sometime shortly at the Huggins and Scott auction house. So you'll be able to find that there. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure you can bid over the phone on, if you have that kind of money. Typically, if a card sold at an auction house, they're going to be promoting that heavily. So I can imagine we'll be talking about that sale here shortly. We'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure it got into the six figures online, so we'll see how the auction house does with it. But that's where you'll be able to find that card, and we'll see what happens there. But Topps, Allen and Ginter Baseball, this is a set we could probably spend the entire show on. So I'm going to try to narrow it down a little bit, talk a little bit about the box itself, but talk about some of the cards. I think what's interesting about this is you see some interesting cards pulled, regardless of the Strasburg that's in there. We'll talk about that. You see some autographs and some framed autographs, some mini cards, even some non-autographed cards go for some interesting prices, and some cool cards in there, some non-baseball players. I always think it's interesting. And then we'll talk about it again once I get the box. We're going to get a box, I think, this week. I think with the holiday, it got delayed a little bit, but we should get it this week, and we'll bust it. You'll be able to see a video, and we'll talk about it here. I'll spend a little time here to talk about my, because that'll be actually the first time I've opened up a Ginter box personally myself, so it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of stuff we can get out of there. So hopefully we could pull one of the cards that was added. It was card number 401, Steven Strasburg. I actually thought when it was number 401, I actually thought originally it was a mini rip card, because the mini rip cards are numbered, I think, 351 to 400. And so I thought they were going to slip it in the rip cards, but apparently it's not. It's just a mini card numbered to 401, which is kind of interesting, because the base cards, I think, stop right around 350. So it's just card number 401. It's a mini card. There's also an autograph version, which I think is in the form of a redemption. Those are very rare. I believe those are numbered to 10, or I think there's only going to be 10 of those floating around. Don't quote me on that. Don't put that in the books. But I do believe there's very few of those out there. And including, there's been some controversy of the mini card. Everybody thought that maybe it was an SP, because there was some early breaks of Topps, Allen & Ginter by some prominent dealers, or just some people that bust open huge amounts of cases and put that information online and stuff. They didn't get any Strasburgs, and so people thought it was like an SP, but Topps made an official statement and said, no, this card, in fact, is not an SP. So it's kind of interesting, I guess, maybe with the number of players in there and the how hard it is to get a mini card, maybe they do fall only one an individual player only falls every couple cases. I don't know. I it's probably easy math. It definitely is easy math to do. But I didn't go to school to major in math, so I couldn't tell you. But what was interesting was the prices. We have a big polls page in the Topps Allen and Ginter section. If you go to sportscardradio.com on July 1st, right after the set came out, somebody bought one of the Strasburg mini cards, bought it now for $1,500. So that's an incredible price for one of those cards. And then it came out, the top said, hey, this is not an SP. It's, you know, it's not a short print. Well, one went for auction for $620, maybe a couple days later. So those kind of things, it's very interesting to see the price like double, you know, go down by 50%. I say go down. It's still sold for $620. And they're selling for several hundred dollars these days. So that's incredible for a card that apparently is not even SP. But people are having trouble locating these. And it raised some question if there was like a collation issue, or like, you know, how you collate the set and make sure all the cards are, you know, the cards that you set are going to be 1 in 5 packs, or typically 1 in 5 with maybe a small amount of error. But with a card of this caliber and what people, you know, because if a card's going for $600 and you could get like one per case or one every two cases, it might actually be worth buying cases and busting it to sell, because if you were guaranteed one card that sold for $400 or $500, that's pretty incredible, especially a non-autographed card. Obviously, if it's not SP, once all the cards are busted and stuff, the prices will get tempered at some point. Although this Steven Strasburg thing is absolutely insane, and people, obviously the one of one went up $9,000. Maybe part of it was due to the grade, but it was at like a huge, I think it was over his asking price originally, before people knew it was BGS 10. So that card was going up. So very interesting, but we'll see what happens with Steven Strasburg. We'll keep you updated going on there. Hopefully we pull one out of our box. I think TMCD on the forum, something on our sportscardradio.com fan forum, I think that's his forum name. I think he has the Washington Nationals, so hopefully we'll be able to pull one for him, make him rich, maybe pull one of those autograph redemption. I can imagine those would sell for maybe several $1,000, so that would be pretty exciting. So we'll see what happens there. We'll keep you updated. But on terms of some of the other cards, I remember one of the early photographs of came out months ago, it seems like now. They were previewing Allen and Ginter. One of the framed autographs that they were previewing that they let everybody see right away was the Tony Hawk one. And I guess one sold shortly after it came out for about $172. Remember when I tell you how much it sold for? These aren't verified. I didn't go back and see if they left feedback and all that. This is just to give you an idea. Hey, somebody bid it up to that price. Whether or not they paid for it, I don't know. But I can imagine, you know, aside from the Strasburg swinging wildly, prices typically don't, you know, even the sale falls through here. One will come up and it'll sell. You know, typically when things get really early on, you'll see high prices for especially someone like Tony Hawk, notable like that. But once all these cards are pulled and all however many signed are out there on the secondary market, you might see prices kind of go down slightly, but maybe not huge amounts. So, but his card sold for $172. That's pretty cool for a skateboarder autograph. So that's pretty interesting. In terms of baseball players in here, a Ryan Howard framed autograph sold for $165. And when I say framed, it's a mini card that's autographed and then it's framed and like almost has like some leaves on it. It looks like it has like a leaf motif on it, and kind of a red border. You'll notice them on online and stuff. They have a very defined red border around the mini. That's literally framing a mini card that's in there. So interesting card. And a Jason Hayward sold for $142. So actually Ryan Howard actually sold for a little bit more than him. So that's kind of interesting. And an unripped mini rip card. These rip cards are actually, they're actually full size. I shouldn't say they're mini rip cards. Inside there's a mini card. So it's a full size card. They're all numbered out of 50. And there's a rip card inside, and there's various inserts in there. There's like, I think in the past there was original Allen Ginter cards. I'm not sure if those are included these days, but there's where you can find some mini mini ripped red autographs numbered out of 10. You'll find those in there, along with, I think, the wood parallels. I think there's wood one-of-one parallels in there, along with several other inserts. And you can choose to unrip the card or leave it like as is. You got to rip the actual back of the card. It's called a rip card for a reason. You actually got to rip the back of the card to get the other card in there. But Giovanni Gallardo sold for $67. So that kind of gives you an idea of what, you know, somebody's willing to pay for, you know, not only the guy on the front, but what potentially might be inside. So about, you know, $65-$70. That might be, that's kind of a fun gamble right there. It'd be fun to pull that in the pack, actually, like in a box or a pack or something, because then it's like you're opening up a whole separate pack right there. And you never know, it could be, there could be some really cool stuff in there. So that's that. And what's also cool is there's box loader packs in here. It's typically, it's just an unautographed card, just kind of like a jumbo, you know, like I think most of them are like N43 or N45 relic cards or something, whatever that stands for. Most of them are that, but there's actually these big nameplates, and I'm not 100% sure, since I don't have the privilege to own one of these cards, but I think these potentially could be game used. I'm not sure, but either way, they're impressive cards. My brother put up on, actually, I'm getting all this information right here at sportscardreport.info. My brother does a good job of putting up popular cards and like interesting cards that come up online and for sale, and you know, a lot of the Steven Strasburg stuff. But his latest post was about a Chipper Jones nameplate patch that was like a jumbo, like think of a jumbo box loader card. It's kind of like if you ever saw the Chickle Break we did in the recap video, I busted a card. It was like a huge like Honus Wagner card or something like that. So it's that size. It's like really big, and it almost looks like it has almost the full nameplate of Jones written out. So it's like the full cutout of the back of his jersey where it says Jones, but it says J-O-N-E, and you can see part of the S. So it's incredible. I think it's like, it's really incredible. I really encourage you to take a look. Sportscardreport.info, you'll be able to see the picture there. I just think it's incredible. Currently, it's at $395. It has 275 people watching it. My brother can tap into, I guess, eBay's API, I guess, and see the number of watchers. So there's 275 people watching that card. So it's currently right around $400. They're numbered one of one. So very, 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 very cool card. Has almost the whole Jones written out. I can imagine if you're a Chipper Jones fan, that would be a card you would be willing to pay some monster money for. But in terms of some other big pulls, I have a couple other here. There was a Matt Holliday rip card that was number 2 of 5, I guess. Maybe they're numbered, maybe no, they're not numbered out of 50. I guess they're maybe numbered out of 5. This one's numbered out of 5. It sold for $375. And that was on June 30th, so that's kind of interesting. Other rip sales including Alex Rodriguez, 2 of 5 for $300. Josh Beckett, 4 of 5 for $275-ish. And a Johan Santana for $234. So it looks like people are paying right around that $250, $300, even $375 for Matt Holliday. So that's kind of interesting. And there was a Silk Parallel. So the Silk Parallel cards are still around. And there was an Albert Pujols that sold for $150 on July 1st. Its serial number is 2 of 10. So those are cool. That's like unautographed, no jersey or anything. It's just like a framed like piece of silk. So obviously, if you pull a player of Albert Pujols' caliber, those tend to go for a little bit more. So that's pretty neat, $150. And again, the Jason Hayward sold for about $127. But in terms of what else is in here, typically in a box, you're finding 24 packs and 8 cards per pack. There's 3 hits out of that 24 packs, and it's going to be a mix. They don't really tell you exactly what it is because it's going to be a mix of autographs, relics, rip cards, cut signatures, and printing plates. So it's going to be a mix of, you know, typically maybe an autograph and 2 relics, maybe a rip card, a relic, and an autograph. If you get a cut signature, I wouldn't be expecting maybe a rip card and an Albert Pujols autograph or something like that. So there, it's, you know, there's some collation and some, I can imagine, if they did do a good job, you're not going to get a DNA relic of George Washington, and you're going to get, you know, the red autograph of Steven Strasburg. Although if that does exist, I hope I get that box. So, 'cause that'd be great for our listeners that are all signed up for the box break. But there's the obviously the box loader pack, and what's interesting in here is you find the cut signature list is actually really interesting. You got Barack Obama in there, you got Martin Luther King Jr., Thomas Jefferson, Gerald Ford. I'm just going down the list. I see Hillary Clinton on here. So it's really, really interesting. So there's going to be some huge pulls there. We also mentioned, obviously, there's the Tony Hawk in here, but there's also Summer Sanders, who was on The Apprentice recently, and there's Sean Johnson, who I think won the Dancing with the Stars that Chad Ochocinco was on, and who was a gymnast in the Olympic Games a while back. I think the team did really well. They might have won gold. I don't know. But I know she was a big part of it. So she's in there. Jordan Sparks, who won American Idol, is in here. In terms of the other cards that are really cool in here, some people might have a problem with these cards. I don't. But the DNA relics, it's usually like a hairpiece, or it's like a really interesting piece from people. And they've got Ludwig van Beethoven in here. John F. Kennedy, who seems to be a staple in Allen Ginter. Ronald Reagan is in here. Abraham Lincoln. So we're talking the icons of America in here. I mean, John F. Kennedy, Abe Lincoln is like on, I think, the penny. So he'll be in here. Those obviously are one of one. There's only 10 total cards. So those are like beyond case hits. Those are like product hits. If you hit any there. But then that's what's kind of cool about Allen and Ginter. You know, like typically a set, you know, it's 24 pack, 8 cards, and you get 3 hits, you know, and there's like case hits. And I guess the Steven Strasburg could be included as a case hit. But they've got those nameplates. I didn't include those as a case hit. These DNA relics are case hits. Some of the rip cards are one of one rip cards and things like that you can find inside there are case hits. Some of the framed autographs are really, really nice. Those are almost case hits. So there's always really nice stuff in here, and there's always interesting cards. And I always find this to be an interesting set. Again, take it from someone that's never opened any of this stuff. But I have looked into maybe purchasing some of the cards and things like that. There's also these book cards in here that look absolutely tremendous. We had a bat knob card of Ryan Howard and Albert Pujols, and it was tremendous. The card stock looked unreal. It looked just sensational. I can't like stress it enough. I typically don't get this excited about cards, but I was very excited about the look of some of these cards, and it'll be great to see them in person when we open up a box here in a couple days. So there's all kinds of other little inserts in here. Definitely this isn't your like typical prospect set if you're looking for, you know, a bunch of rookies and stuff like that. Obviously Jason Hayward and Buster Posey and some guys like that. I think Madison Bumgarner might have even slipped in here. But it's not your all baseball. There's Sailors of the Seven Seas, where there's like Christopher Columbus and Henry Hudson, a lot of guys I haven't even heard of. Ponce de Leon, I've heard of him. There's National Animals, so you'll find cards with like a cougar on it, a lynx, a bulldog, bald eagle, tiger, not Tiger Woods, but an actual tiger. There's World's Greatest Wordsmith, so you'll find Shakespeare cards. You'll find Plato cards. So these are interesting. You know, if you're a sports card fan and you're like looking to maybe like spread the love, like maybe somebody doesn't understand your passion for sports cards, this is a great set. Maybe someone likes reading books, likes reading Shakespeare, or likes, you know, likes Sean Johnson, or likes the Olympics, or likes Jordan Sparks, likes American Idol, something like that, or even Tony Hawk. You know, there's tons of guys in here. There was like even like a shooting range champion. I mean, there was like just some really random cards in here. I would try to pick one up. You know, obviously if it's some of the autograph cards, they might be kind of expensive, but there, you know, there's a Shakespeare base card you probably pick up for a dollar or two somewhere, you know, even at your hobby store, even just you know, trying to surf the forum and trying to trade somebody, you might be able to find one. So give somebody that and they'll be like, hey, this is a pretty cool, you know, card of one of my favorite authors. You know, I didn't know that. They probably don't even know those kind of things existed. So a set like this sometimes gets criticized for being released as a baseball set and being sometimes one of the more popular baseball sets. I mean, and it has a lot of like elements in it that don't have anything to do with baseball, but it helps grow the attention to baseball, helps people that may don't care about Steven Strasburg. I asked a buddy the other day that, you know, he's up on things. He knows who some of the team, you know, he's going to know who wins the Super Bowl. He's going to know who's winning and who's losing in sports. I asked him who Steven Strasburg was, and he said he didn't know. And so, I mean, those kind of things, but he's going to know who Shakespeare is. He's going to know who, you know, some of these other guys in here are. So people think that, you know, hey, the set's got to have the hot rookies and got to have the hot players in the MLB. But, you know, let's face it, a lot of people don't know who these players are. If you're not really, really closely touching baseball and watching SportsCenter constantly and those kind of things, people don't do that. People's favorite channel might be the news channel, or might be like kind of the learning channel where you'll see tigers and lions and things like that. So there's a lot of crossings here, and I encourage you, you know, and this is a non-promote. Topps never done a thing for me, so I'm not exactly sure why I'm telling you go out and buy their products, but you can take that as unsolicited, you know, promotion for their products. I purchased the Topps Alligator box with my own money, so they're not sending me anything. But I encourage you to, you know, if you want to share your passion of cards and you want to open doors to other people, you know, given somebody that doesn't even know who Steven Strasburg is, or somebody who's even just a casual fan of like Derek Jeter, they might not be that impressed with his rookie, but give them, you know who their favorite author is or know their favorite animal or whatever, and give them one of those cards. They might be slightly more impressed and say, hey, these are the kind of cards they're making today. So hopefully, those kind of things can open doors and get people in the door buying boxes of this stuff and buying boxes of all kinds of cards, because that helps the hobby, helps your own collection, because you want more people in the hobby if you have a large collection of cards, because it's going to mean that large collection of cards is going to go up in value. If people are leaving the hobby, or if it even stays the same, considering how much product is dumped onto the hobby, new product is dumped on the hobby on a yearly basis, the supply goes up regardless. It doesn't matter if people are throwing away cards or whatever. New supply gets dumped on the hobby every, you know, how much 2009 stuff are you collecting these days? So we need more collectors, and it'd be good for your own collection. So I encourage you to spread the love. Sets like this, if you don't like them, you know, use them for what they're worth. Let's expose some of these random cards to people that actually might be fans of those kind of things. We can expose them and bring them into the hobby. Speaking of the hobby, that about wraps it up for this segment, but we've got more hobby things to talk about in this next segment, and that's Court Kings, Panini Court Kings basketball. So we'll talk about that. I do believe this came out the same day, I'll get to right around the 30th, so we'll talk about Court Kings basketball right after this. Think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. Is it me? Have you seen? Let me clear dirty lanes. Let me take a ride. Hurt yourself. Want some help? Help myself. Got some rope. Haven't told. Promise you, heaven true. Let me take a ride. Hurt yourself. Want some help? Help myself. And we are back. Time to talk about Court Kings basketball. It's a good thing I do. I say that I'm going to talk about some stuff, and then I actually research it right before the segment. I actually record the segment. So I think I said previously that Court Kings already came out. It actually hasn't come out. It comes out July 7th, I believe, some of the week of or right around the 7th. So by the time you listen to this, within a couple days or by the day you listen to it, it should be out. And it was supposed to be about $100 a box. And so I was seeing if it was, you know, that was kind of my original research, was I thought if it was out already, I wanted to see how much it was selling for. But it's not out. And I looked online and it sold for about $90. And then I went to one of our sponsors, globalsportscards.com. They have, you know, basketball, football, and baseball products, along with a mix of other things. And they had Panini Court Kings for about 77 bucks, at least at the time of recording this. It's 77 bucks on there, so you might want to hop on there. Like I said, on eBay it was like 90 bucks, and I know it's supposed to be about $100 product, so 77 bucks. If you use our discount code, you can actually get two boxes for about 150 bucks, and then use the discount code SCR for $10 off, and you'd be walking away for about $70 a box. So might be a pretty good deal if you can sell one box on eBay for 90. You'd actually be doing really good. So So I'm not really sure on if the price is really $77-80 is really going to be more the fair price for it or what. But that's a pretty good price, and it's from one of our sponsors, so you'll be helping us out at the same time. But Panini Court Kings basketball might be worth taking a look at. It's a one pack kind of box product. It's in kind of a smaller box. You get 11 cards. You're supposed to get four autographs or memorabilia cards, at least one autograph out of that four. So at least one in the three. Might be like two of two, might be all four autographs. You never know. By the time this comes out, it probably depends on how many autographs they have to throw in a set like this. But what I kind of found interesting was I think every base card is serial numbered out of here. So somewhat limited. I think every base card is numbered out of 325, and there's lots of other parallels, and you're supposed to get a couple parallels per box and stuff like that. So interesting set. There's a lot of autographs in here, and if you're kind of not a fan of sticker autographs, you'll want to pick and choose your sets in here because some have stickers, and I think some don't. But there are some very nice cards in here. Obviously, you're going to find the rookies like Brandon Jennings and Tyreek Evans, and along with, you know, all the others. Stephen Curry is actually a guy that should be mentioned every time, too, because he had a really nice end of the season. It looks like the Warriors are really expecting big things from him. So he's in here. You know, you got your Ron Artest in here, which should probably have gone up in value. Obviously, being a Panini set, you're going to find Kobe, and he actually has his own little set. I think it's an Italian name, Il Bello Cinquette checklist. I don't know. It's like some artwork almost with Kobe. It's like some framed card. It's a five card set, and I believe there's parallel cards in there that are autographed out of 24. So you'll find some Kobe autographs. I think there's some non-autograph stuff, so you'll probably see those from time to time. But I'm sorry, I think it's Italian. It could be. Doesn't look French to me. It looks Italian. So sorry, I never studied that language. So pronunciation's probably off, but it's a fairly large checklist. I'd say the base set is fairly large because you're supposed to get three commons and then one bronze parallel. There's also silver and black parallels as well. You also find autograph versions on the base cards numbered to 49 or less, and you also find jersey parallels, usually just like a little cutout window, similar to a set that they just had out as well that did a very similar thing. I can't remember the name of the set right off the top of my head, but again, I'm going off sportscardradio.com. We always put the checklist up. I think that's sometimes the easiest way to figure out if you want to buy a set is just to see all the cards right in front of you. What's available, you know? How many Kobe's are in there? How many Tyreek's? How many chances do I got to get some of these autographs? So there's some nice cards in here. Again, a nice mix of veterans. I wouldn't say this has a lot of Hall of Fame players. I don't see a lot of sets. I see one here with a Bob Cousy and Oscar Robertson, but Panini Hall of Fame that comes out here fairly shortly, I guess within a month or so, we'll have all Hall of Fame, like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and those kind of guys. So if you're after those kind of guys, I'd say this set is more towards your modern and current NBA players. There's a mix of Hall of Fame guys like Bill Walton and stuff like that, but it's not quite as loaded up as I've seen Panini products in the past. So this is more kind of your Court Kings, maybe kind of features guys that are kind of out right now. But definitely Panini Hall of Fame. Remember, keep in mind with this, with Panini Court Kings coming out, you still have Crown Royale. Panini Update, that's a checklist and a preview. It's actually an update set. Apparently, they're going to extend some of the autograph sets that they had in, like, maybe Rookies and Stars and Limited and Donruss Elite. Don't quote me on this, but it looked like the sell sheet seemed to imply that they were going to add some cards to that checklist in this Panini Update product. It might kind of be kind of a throw together. Those kind of sets are kind of interesting. We've seen baseball do that. I know Upper Deck had some update sets. I know I just put up the checklist for Topps Update, which is going to have all the guys that get traded. It'll have the Steven Strasburg in there along with some other cards. So it might be an interesting product. You have that, you have Crown Royale, National Treasures, and then you have Hall of Fame, Panini Hall of Fame. There might be even another set mixed in there, but I think that's about it. So you still have about four more sets, including Court Kings. So you have about five sets to come still for 09-10. And I made the point that that these rookies, the 2010-11 rookies, have already played, or excuse me, already been drafted and already had press conferences with their team. And I'm sure there's some really diehard fans that already have some jerseys of them. So it's kind of unfortunate, I think, that, you know, the timing of these really nice sets are coming out. And, you know, none of the 2010-11 rookies, no redemptions or anything like that are in here. So that's unfortunate, but it also might keep prices down. I mean, $77-$80 for a box that was supposed to retail right around $100. And, you know, even online, it's supposed to sell probably right around $90-$95. So that's kind of interesting. That's good for you. And I'm maybe kind of shouldn't be complaining about the schedule of this, you know, weeks after the NBA finals, you know, at a time when people care maybe a little bit more about the upcoming football season than the past basketball season. That timing's actually really good for you if you're a basketball collector. You know, I think if this set came out in December, I don't think I don't know, maybe we can bring them on the show, but you know, would they have priced it at $77 on a set like this if it came out in December, right around, you know, Christmas time and stuff like that? I don't think so. I think this is exactly what Panini people were looking for from Panini, a little bit more higher end set, you know, four autographs for $80. You know, it's about what you get out of 24-pack product, but you know, typically this has a little tighter checklist. You might find a little bit of break here. So I don't know. I think this probably would have sold a little bit better early on in the season, but it's great for fans now. Even when National Treasures comes out, I think in like August. So, I mean, you might see, if that came out in January or even right around the NBA Finals, I think you would have saw a huge interest in it. But by then, you know, everybody's going to be wanting the new rookies and all those guys that got picked. So I'm sure Panini has some things on the way, but it's kind of unfortunate that they're not included in some of this late-end product like Topps Finest used to do. I was putting up a Topps Finest checklist, and it was from 03-04 when LeBron James was a rookie, but it had the redemption cards for Dwight Howard and the guys that were picked the year after. And so the same goes for LeBron James. XRCs, his Finest, they're referred to as XRCs, I guess, because they came out in 2002-2003 when I think Amare Stoudemire and maybe even Yao Ming might have been in that draft. I'm not exactly sure. But his XRCs and even Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, they were all the year before. So kind of interesting. I kind of wish that kind of same thing would happen. I think it really does feed the products. You see what like Topps Finest Redemptions did this year when, you know, finally they Topps announced that redemption card number six out of Topps Finest Baseball, 2010 Topps Finest Baseball, was Steven Strasburg. Those cards sell for hundreds of dollars. You know, especially the parallel version sell for multiple hundreds of dollars, almost thousands of dollars. So it'd be interesting. You throw those in here, throw a couple, you know, a number one pick, you know, guaranteed refried. They don't even have to be autographed. I think they would sell pretty well because people, you know, like I said, people are probably looking to buy new jerseys of these guys and looking, you know, a card and an autograph is probably right up there on some diehard NBA fans checklist. So we'll see what happens. But again, it's great for NBA fans now. I mean, this is going to keep prices fairly low on things. So I think it's going to be fairly good for fans now. You might be able to scoop a Tyreek Evans or a, you know, a Stephen Curry autograph rookie for a pretty good price. So if this came out in December, it would have been his most valuable rookie probably at the time. So I think it's good for collectors. So you definitely want to take a look at Court Kings Basketball along with the other Panini releases that come out supposedly in July. They push it back, and I'm sure it's to fill the checklist and get the autographs in there and things, so there's not a limited number of redemptions and things like that. But it should be nice if they threw some extra surprises in there as well. But basically, you want to take a look if you're a basketball fan. You know, don't sleep on basketball when everybody else is, because now the time is to pick up on some rookies, especially as we go into next season and people start getting excited about basketball. Right around August, September, right around then is when everybody starts getting excited about basketball. And that's a fun time in general, because you got football, you got baseball in full swing, you got football just beginning, basketball's about to begin, so that's a fun time. So I'm excited for that. This July, you know, is kind of one of those months where everybody's just taking a breather. We're all watching baseball. We're keeping tabs on some of the football, maybe even a little basketball, but not so much. Although the free agency in the NBA has been nuts. I guess, you know, LeBron has been dominating the coverage and where all those guys, Carmelo, or not Carmelo, I think he has 1 year left. But Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and some of those guys are going to go. Some people have been getting some big money. I guess Darko Milicic got a big contract, and even I think the Lakers have agreed to sign Steve Blake for like $4 million a season. So, man, I sure wish I was about 4 inches taller. These podcasts would be tremendously produced because I probably could afford somebody to. I probably would just be syndicated on Sirius Radio. I would just pay for that. But unfortunately, I was not blessed with those physical gifts, and I don't make $4 million a year. But there are a lot of basketball players that are, and one way of capitalizing on them is by, collecting their basketball cards. So hopefully you enjoyed that segment. Court King, a little bit of Court Kings, a little bit of everything mixed in there. So hopefully you've enjoyed that. Again, globalsportscards.com has, 77 bucks on Court Kings basketball. That I don't typically, even from people that help the show run, I don't typically say, hey, that's actually a pretty good buy. But when I saw every single auction for a box on eBay, they all wanted $90 plus. That's, you're getting $20 off, about $10, $15 off there. And again, you can use our discount code, the SCR there for Sports Card Radio, and you get $10 off on orders over $150. So that about wraps it up for this segment. That's all we've got. That's all we're going to do. Show number 56 has come to an end. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I'm not exactly sure what's coming up on the next show. We definitely have some releases this month. There'll definitely be a mix of basketball. I know there's some baseball. There's actually some nice sets of baseball, I think, coming out this month. We'll definitely discuss, probably by the time the next show rolls around, I'm expecting my Ginter box and my longevity basketball box that we're doing for our free box break. And by the time you listen to this, there's probably still time to get on over to the sportscardradio.com fan forum and register in the contest thread for that. By the time we do the next podcast, we probably will have bust at least one of those or maybe both of those. So we'll probably talk about that, maybe some other things. Again, you can always send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, if you have somebody on some of your favorite teams that you want me to talk about. If you got something, anything, any kind of questions about the hobby, anything that we can discuss on the show that you want other people to hear, we definitely can do that as well. sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can always visit our website anytime, sportscardradio.com. That about wraps it up. Hopefully everybody's doing well out there, staying cool. It's at least been fairly mild out here in California, so hopefully it's been that way for you. Hopefully you tune in next time. Thanks for listening. We're out of here.